It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
We got lots to do, of course. Today. We'll make our picks on the games because I know how you guys are. You listen to the radio and you're like, yeah, I really need to know what these hosts think. I really need to know what they would do if they were pretend betting on these games. It ain't our money. You know that. But we still break it down for you. Nobody breaks it down better than Bart Scott, who, by the way, is still trending for what he said about Jalen Hurts. And he didn't even say anything bad. But it's amazing to me that I opened up Twitter this morning. It's like trending topic, and one of them was Bart Scott. And all he said was, Jalen Hurts is not a superstar. That doesn't seem like that hot of a take. But it's got everybody in Philly mad. Well, he'll piss more people off in Philly when you hear what he thinks is going to happen in this game. But speaking of games, because I feel like while Bart's not here, after all the trouble and the headache that he gave me a couple of days ago, about maybe they should just blow the team up and tank. You know what I'm talking about, the Knicks. That maybe you should trade Julius Randle. Like, he's saying all these things. And then last night, the Knicks pull off a win in Boston that you could nitpick, blew a lead. I mean, everybody in the league, if you're watching the NBA, I got to tell you, if you're watching the NBA, everybody blows leads. No lead is safe. The wire-to-wire wins are not what they used to be. 10-point lead in the fourth quarter is not what it used to be. I mean, you used to go, once you got it over about 10, once you got to about 5 minutes to go up 10 or 12, human victory cigar time was coming. That doesn't happen anymore. Because of the three-point shot, because of the ability to draw fouls, because of the way they now are calling things with defense, the amount of possessions that happen now in games, I don't know what it is. But I actually asked the league about it when the Knicks were having these issues late in games. And I was saying, like, I wonder how bad they are compared to the whole league. So it turns out that the Knicks have lost four games this season. Four. When they have had a double-digit second-half lead. Four. There are teams in the league that have lost five and six games when they have a double-digit lead in the second half. It's just factual. The Celtics, in fact, were the only team, last I checked, that only had one. The Grizzlies, the only team in the league that hadn't done it yet. But they might have recently, but when I checked, this was last week. So these double-digit leads thing, it's about holding on. It's what it's about. Hold on and get the win. Less about, like, you know, just you take a 10, you turn it into 20, and everybody goes home, and we bring in, you know, remember Greg Buck, what was his name, Butler? Stu Gray would come in, everybody would go guard and go nuts. Like, that kind of stuff, it doesn't happen as much anymore in this league because teams start putting up threes, they get to the foul line, whatever it is, it happens. Now, are the Knicks great at executing late? No. No, it's pretty clear. They have a hard time with it. But on the overall picture of things, as you're looking at this game and the way they play in that third quarter, the Celtics, the best team in the league, the best record in the league, they are at home in their building. Man, you got to say, are we undervaluing what they are right now and pieces that could take them a little bit better? And I know 2 days ago I was, you know, I let you, Bart, bring so me down buyers. That road.
Now we're buyers.
I've always said they're buyers. Always said that they should be buyers to keep building this thing because they have all these damn assets. They have some pieces to start with. You said blow it up. You said trade Julius Randle. Did you watch the game last night? Be honest.
I did.
Did you see Randle dunk on like everybody? He went nuts last night.
Right. People will give something up. That was a great spotlight.
Why are you doing? Why?
Moved as an asset.
Why are you saying move as an asset? Somebody that is averaging like 30 and 10, dunking on people, and he's playing better than I think he played 2 years ago.
It's the same argument.
Why would you do that?
It's the same argument that I had.
He's got 2 years left on a very affordable deal. Yeah.
It's the same argument I had, which makes him super attractive. It's the same thing that okay, so after these 2 years, are you going to keep him again?
You're really, after last night's game.
No, listen.
You're really going to continue this push.
Listen, he balled out. And he reminded us
been
showed that he can play. He can play bully ball.
He has been balling out.
He said. He said himself. He hasn't dunked like this since high school. He's jamming on people.
Yep.
All that. All that.
Yeah.
But all I'm
saying. He dunked on Jason Tatum. Dunked on him.
Allen. All I'm saying. Don't see. You can't get too emotional. I'm making rational decisions.
You think that's a rational thing?
No,
that Allen, right now where they are and what you saw last night.
He can help somebody
blow this team up.
No. What I'm saying is not the team. Just him.
Well, that would be blowing the team up. He's their best player.
So tell me this: in 2 years, what are you going to do with him?
I don't know. I'll see where they are in 2 years. You got a lot of things that need to be done between now and then.
I'm saying, do you see him?
They're not. The roster's not a finished product. So for me to
understand that,
for me to say like, well, in 2 years, this is what they're going to be. They better not look like this in 2 years. They better continue to build up the roster around him, which they did last summer with Jalen Brunson.
Allen,
you got to keep doing this,
Allen. So if you're saying keep building around him,
right?
That's saying that he's here for when these 2 years are up, or before that, you're going to give him another extension. So that's saying he's your star for the next 7 years. That's what you're saying.
I don't know where we are in 2 years. That's what I'm saying. I'm living in the now.
Are you going to let this regime that if you don't get the winning, make the decision in 2 years to sign him and let the next regime that's going to take over for him take over for them?
You keep asking me about the next 2 years. And, Bart, I'm not thinking about 2 years from now.
Well,
I'm thinking about right now.
As a general manager, that's my job. Because you have to ask yourself, what is this team? Where is this going to go? It's nice. It's a cute story. But what are they? I understand they're fourth right now. But what are they?
They're more competitive than we thought they'd be.
Do you think they can win a playoff series?
It depends on the matchup. I have no idea.
Okay, so
I don't know who they're playing.
The likelihood is probably if they win one, they won't win two.
Right. That's where they are right now. I don't know. Again, Bart, this is always about how do you make the run. See, you're telling me to think like a GM. Right now, if I'm the general manager, which I always think as a GM, I'm not smart enough to think as a coach. I've never had that ability to be the guy watching a game and talking about what play I would do next and what defense I would draw. I've never been that guy. I've always been about the roster and talent and how you make it all work. That's always been my perspective when I was a reporter and as now I am as an analyst. I look at it that way. What do I got to work with and how can I compete with other teams that are really good as well? And what I'm looking at is a starting five that went healthy because, again, Mitch Robinson's not there. But when healthy, his starting five is a very competitive starting five, very competitive. The bench has to get better. But what I see are pieces that can be competitive and how do I – advance the cause. How do I upgrade some pieces when I feel like I've got a 20-10 guy, a 30-10 guy, right? I've got a point guard that can give me 30 on a given night.
Mm-hmm. Right?
I've got that. I've got some defensive players. Right? I have that. I have a guy off the bench that can score, but I don't have enough that can compete with the better teams. How do I get those pieces to build it up? Because I can't get the star. That's where I will agree with you there. I can't get the star. I can't get the MVP candidate like Jason Tatum. Can't get him. I tried.
So,
you've been in the draft. It can't happen. But
so
how do I still build this team up? Because you know what I'm trying to do? What your team, that your favorite team did. I'm trying to be the 04 Pistons.
It's hard
I might not have all superstars,
it's
but
so
I can
hard.
Get depth and I can get talent.
But it's so hard to win that way now.
Of course
right?
It is. But it's the only
it's
way I got.
Hard.
It's
but,
my only way to win right now. It's my only avenue to winning. That's it. Because I couldn't get the superstar. So I've got, instead of focusing on chasing that tail, I got something. It's worthwhile to build with. How do I make it better? Because these next couple of moves that Leon Rose and company are going to do at the trade deadline in this summer are critical for their regime. Because you're right. If they don't get it right and they can't do anything more than a one and done again, there'll be somebody else in here running this franchise.
Allen, if you don't get rid of Julius Randle, I just fear that we're going to start pushing this narrative that Luka is not happy in Dallas. And we should start hoping that maybe Luka be the next disgruntled guy and come to the Knicks. Like, it's like with this core, how far can you go with this core? And that's what concerns me. Like, we can get excited about some good wins. And listen, they're playing tough. They're well coached. They're good, scrappy guys. But
okay.
At the end of the day, what are they? Like, what's
you
their
just,
ceiling?
You just told me what they were.
So what's their ceiling? Like, get
Bart,
out the first round?
But all right.
I'm saying, here's where I need you to listen to me.
Because you keep talking to me in a way as if I'm being an irrational just –
No, I'm not saying you're being irrational.
Like that, as if I'm like, this is all just, you know, blue and orange glasses that I'm seeing it through. No, I'm giving you my rational thought about a team that I'm highly critical of. Everybody that knows me knows I am highly critical of this team. And so when I'm looking at it last night, as I was looking at it against Cleveland, just like I was looking at it against Toronto, and I see what they don't have to win against length teams that junk defense, right? Like, so I see them and I just assess, and I keep coming back to the same place. They don't have a ceiling yet because that is not a finished product. They are not Golden State. They're not even Denver. Denver's a finished product. That's it. Yeah. They have got to win it with what they got. They're not getting better. They made the moves. Aaron Gordon. They brought him in.
They have
right?
two
They
superstars.
Did things to make them better.
They have two superstars. Jamal Murray is a superstar.
Well, he's working his way back. You're right. Yeah. He's working his way back. But my point
but
is
we
this.
Know, we know him at his
Those
best what he
are
is.
Those are teams that you know what they are. The Knicks are a team that has something. It's there. They're not near complete yet. They're not near complete yet. They've got assets to make more moves. But my criticism is, and this is why I keep bringing it up, is that I feel like there's something here to work with, but I don't know, do we have enough experience in the front office to take what they've got right now during this season with a coach, like you said, they're well coached. They are overachieving. Look at their record. They are. They're right, like they're overachieving because they're achieving for them is 500. They're over 500.
Yeah.
So they are overachieving. They don't have a ton of depth. So can this front office see what they've got and make the improvements to advance the cause? That's my point. You're saying blow it up. I'm saying no. You've got to take what you got and make it better and see if you can. That's when you'll discover what the ceiling is.
That's why.
That's what I'm trying to say.
That's why it's so tough, man.
Oh, yeah.
Some teams say, you know what? We probably have a better chance of being bad and hope we get lucky that way than we do in trying to acquire talent over a period of time and hope that the pieces come together as a puzzle. I feel like to a certain extent the Washington Wizards tried to do that. They have a star in Bradley Beal.
Yeah, they do.
So they said, well, let's try and go get Kyle Kuzman. He's a good player.
Mm-hmm. And Porzingis.
And let's get Porzingis.
But what'd they get? They got Beal is a guy who's always hurt. Porzingis is a guy, he's out again, always hurt.
Right. That's
like,
what I'm saying. But
you're banking on guys like who aren't available. The Knicks are banking on a guy, and Julius Randle never misses time, ever. Ever. Jalen Brunson is a small, but he's tough as nails. He rarely misses time, and when he does, he drives himself crazy to get back in the lineup. You're not dealing with what the Clippers have.
Where
Kawhi, when he plays, that's the headline. He's playing. Not that he's hurt. We're all expecting him not to play.
Yeah.
Like, it's a much different thing. At least you've got guys who are available on a given night.
I just hope that they
let
don't
me build
say,
with that.
I hope they don't say, hey, I'm a Jimmy Butler away or something like that, man. And
well, I mean, look, if you added Jimmy Butler to this team, wouldn't they be exponentially better?
They would, but would they be a threat to do anything?
Why wouldn't they? Were the Heat a threat to do something recently?
Yeah.
Were the Sixers with Jimmy Butler a threat?
What? Bam out of Bayou.
Look at Bam's numbers. Look at Randall's numbers. Same. What are you telling? Like, again, like, I can't buy into blow it up, sell off your best players, start all over again.
So you're
when you have finally
years,
gotten
so
you, to so, a place so, that you've been waiting to get to, which is back to where you were with Carmelo, which was a competitive team that made the playoffs.
So you're saying
there and build off of that.
Sounds to me like you're saying that you're sold as Julius Randle as your best player.
I didn't say best player. I said he is a piece
player.
That is – right now he is. He doesn't have to be for long. Right
then
now he is.
How can you afford to get another player?
Who is the best player on that Pistons 0-4 team?
Probably, in my opinion, the most talented was Rasheed Wallace. He was the glue.
Right.
But as far as the
leader –
they
had to acquire him, right?
Yeah.
But you had a lead – right. You had a best player.
You had guys that may not be all-stars, but they were dominant in a certain role. Ben Wallace was special at what he did.
That's right. That's right.
Rasheed Wallace was a guy that was a stretch five, four type.
You had Hall of Famers, but you didn't have superstars.
Yeah.
Right? Now, the Knicks are way younger than that team was. Way younger. So there's so much more growth, so much more time that they have to go through the growing pain. Remember you always said, how does a team develop? You have to have pain first.
Yeah.
You got to go through pain. Well, sometimes blowing leads and missing late free throws, that's pain that you go through. And then later on, like last night, Randall hit two clutch free throws, and then RJ Barrett, two guys that never make free throws in the clutch, both made clutch free throws, and both after the game talked about going through all that stuff. You know what I mean? Like here, let's listen to Randall when on TNT, this is walk-off, right? When he talked about the idea that they've had these close games. They've had maddening finishes to games where you're just like, my God, they can't make a shot, or they turn it over, or free throws, make a damn free throw. But they go through it enough, and as Randall said, they're getting comfortable.
Well, we've been in these games before. All year we've been in up and down games, lost those games at the end, we won them at the end. So there's a sense of, you know, being comfortable in those positions and knowing how to execute down the stretch, whether you're up or down.
And let's also remember, they were going up against the Celtics. I mean, that Celtics team is a really good team, like it really is. Good team. So it wasn't going to be a walk in the park.
I love the Sims kid, man. I think he's super springy, man.
Yeah, he is.
Super springy, big body.
He did foul Robert Williams at the end, though. He did foul him. They didn't call it.
No blood, no foul. Cheese.
Well, I feel like, you know, the last two games, they've gotten away with a couple of fouls, so I'm not upset anymore about the Barrett dunk, no call.
Yeah.
I'm over it.
Because they usually balance out. But I do love that. I love him a little bit better than Mitchell Robinson because he's more sudden. He's more springy. Mitchell Robinson always looks like he's falling over himself.
Fair, but Mitch is just longer. You know, he's just way better offensive rebounder because of his size, his length, and all that other stuff.
See,
but
offensive rebound is a skill. The greatest to ever do it was Dennis Rodman, and it's because he really studied the arc of the
Moses
ball.
Moses Malone was pretty good at it too.
Yeah,
but he would miss on purpose just to get an offensive rebound.
Yeah, the worm was amazing.
But no, he was amazing. His timing, his ability to read the ball, his length too, is his motor. You know, like he would get to every loose ball. Like that's what made him great.
I feel like if Sims decided to be that, he's pretty much 1 inch taller than Dennis Rodman, but he's 250. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because you saw like Williams is a big dude, and he's usually that dude that's used to just pushing it and out physically everybody, and he put that form on him a little bit, and it was like, not so easy, my friend.
So you and I have had this back and forth, and can you at least am I at least making sense?
You are.
I'm trying to make it clear that this is not like I'm not going fanboy. I'm not going like I'm not being irrational. I'm looking at it for what it is, and the realization and the understanding that we have played the game of who's the next star. We already talked to Brian Windhorst earlier this week. He said there isn't one. There's no one next right now that we're all waiting on, that we all feel like, word is, he's not happy. He could be out and the Knicks will target him. That's out. So if that's the case, what else am I doing? What am I supposed to do with what I've got? So you got to look at what you got and say, how do we make this better so we can make it competitive?
So can I
make it even more competitive? And to me, it's upgrading the bench and adding maybe a piece to the starting lineup that fits a little bit better. Just takes you up another notch competitively.
I'm asking because you're saying Randall is the star, right? So you need somebody that
he is right now.
So you need somebody who can compliment him,
correct?
And somebody that can play well with him. So what type of piece is that, in your expert opinion?
To me, that's a length defender on the wing. Like I just feel like
from the offensive side too. What is that?
Well, you gotta be able to hit threes. You gotta be able to hit threes. You gotta have somebody that could be a guy that can defend multiple positions, has great length, can hit like the knockdown, those corner threes, the kick out threes. Like he doesn't have to be a guy that creates for himself. I'm looking at like a
Jeremy Grant type of skill set.
I mean, that's not terrible. You know, that's not terrible. I don't know if Grant's a great defender, but I know he can hit the three. I know he can score. He's got length. Like I'm looking at it like also, I'll go way back with you. I'll tell you what. Like to me, it's a Trevor Ariza when he was in his prime. You know, it's like something like that. Like you like, give me somebody that I know
guy,
he can lock
a
up a couple
as close
people.
Like that is Covington.
Nicholas Batum when he
was
like,
a guy like Covington is coming.
Covington
like that,
would
right?
be a great. Yeah, that's he's not what he used to be either though. Covington's kind of fallen off a bit.
What about Jay Crowder?
I mean that's a guy. I don't know if he's as reliable as a shooter, but his physicality and defense and all.
I'm just saying what's realistic for them. Like,
yeah,
are we talking like a Jay Crowder?
That's certainly a name you could go after. I just don't know how he fits. In all aspects of what they're looking for, but look, I don't know if the guy exists. I don't know if there's a piece like that. I'm just telling you in the starting lineup, that's what I see. Off the bench, you know, I feel like you just need another guy that can score. Like, and Obi Toppin has been fine, but I just don't know if he's a guy that can score regularly, like create for himself score kind of guy.
Can we ask the people if they're as sold as you are?
We got plenty of people that want to talk.
I
want to
know if they're
as
sold as you are. I'm about to tap into the Zoom so I can see the people.
All right, jump in the Zoom. 800-919-3776, of course, is the number. I mean, here's again what Bart was talking about with Julius Randle. Julius Randle had two dunks yesterday. They were nasty. Like, this is the day that the starters were named for the All-Star team. So now we all know in another week the reserves will be named. And the reserves are chosen by the coaches in the conferences. So your Eastern Conference coaches choose the Eastern Conference reserves. So Julius Randle on national TV in front of everybody was letting it be known where his game is right now. And these dunks caught everybody's attention, including actually himself.
Yeah, I feel like I'm in high school again, the way I'm dunking the ball lately. but yeah, I'm just having fun, man.
And again, the conversation that Julius had there with Jared Greenberg walking off the court. Good to see Jared Greenberg as well on the TNT coverage. All right, 800-919-3776. So let's go ahead and hear from the people on this. Again, you can come at me. You could tell me I'm being fanboy, all that stuff. I'm trying to be rational about this. Because there is a reality to, A, blow it up and tank. You're not getting a top two pick. That is a major, major gamble. And the only picks that matter in this draft are the top two. And, oh, by the way, have you seen the draft history? I mean, it's not like they're drafting, like, superstars. And then on top of it, it is you work with what you have and just keep building it piece by piece. This is not the finished product, but you got to admit there's something here to work with. All right, let's see what everybody has to say. Let's begin. It's been on hold the longest. Let's go to David in Flushing to start us off. David.
Hey, guys. What's going on? First time, long time. Love the show. Favorite on the radio. Listen, the truth of the matter is that as good as Randle was last night, and as fun as they are to watch, there's just no reason to believe that the Randle and the role that he plays, that they would be able to win, honestly, any seven-game series against any opponent. There's nothing about the team this year that makes me think they're any different than they were 2 years ago against that, when they played that Hawks team and got absolutely embarrassed.
Well, I mean, David, you could say that they can't beat any opponent in a seven-game series. I don't know if I believe that. Let's also remember that against the Hawks, they did not have Mitchell Robinson, a huge loss for them. In that series. And Randle, like, they had a defense against Randle that just he looked terrible.
Yeah, we haven't seen that defense a lot this year. I know Jalen Brunson can get the ball out of his hands, but it's tough, man, because it's like almost a decision to put a football analogy on it. It's a football decision that, like, where the Dallas Cowboys are. You have a good team, you can
have
a decent record.
It's fair.
But when it where can
you
go?
So you're telling me that Julius Randle is Dak Prescott?
Yeah.
That he's good,
and everybody else has a Burrow, a Mahomes, Allen, Jackson.
So what do the Cowboys then need to do to get the most out of Dak? Do what? Put better talent around him?
Yeah, but it's the type of talent they got to put around him, and I don't know if the Knicks have the assets or the availability to put a star around him. See, that's the thing. The best starter they could get should have been Donovan Mitchell before Jalen Brunson, but Jalen Brunson is who they got.
They would have gotten both. They already had Brunson in the fold before the trade talks.
So Jalen Brunson is essentially T.Y. Hilton because they knew that, like, CeeDee Lamb needed somebody to help him out.
Yeah, but remember, Brunson came before the
No, Mitchell I get it.
So he's not T.Y. Hilton. All right.
Okay.
He's not that.
Okay, he's James Robinson.
Whatever you want to call him. I think he's a little bit better than James Robinson.
No, James Washington. Washington. No, yes. James Watson was the guy who they brought over from the Steelers to be that dude. So right. What I'm saying is, like, they just stuck. Like, they're stuck in, like, we can just be
But
average.
They're not stuck. They're not stuck because they have assets. I told you, this pressure is now on the front office.
Right, they're stuck
they
because they have
– to do stuff stuck, to make they, the roster better. How stuck, are they stuck?
They stuck because they have assets, but nobody wants to give them anything. That's why. You know how disheartening that is? Nobody wants to take your picks.
Well, then that's on that's on the front. If that is true, what you said is true.
Utah didn't want to take the picks.
No,
we want a little bit more.
They want to give. All right.
Look
what Utah got for him.
So it's
they got a guy who's an all-star now.
So what I'm saying is it's always somebody that's going to have more. They're like the Green Bay Packers. Like, oh, man, we want Chase Claypool. We'll offer this. Eh, but their one is better than your one.
Look,
or their two is better than your two. It's like, man, come on, man.
If what you're saying is true, that nobody wants to deal with them, nobody wants to give them this, nobody wants their assets, that's a front office issue. That's then the pressure is on Leon Rose and company. This is on Brian Cashman, right? Like he hasn't been able to get certain things and all these. Like it's on Brian. It's on the front office.
Right. That's a
problem. You have something to work with. Make it better.
Somebody's always willing to go a little farther than you are in a deal. So like you got assets and you're like, all right, this is what we're willing to give.
So
they say
we're
willing to give that and one more.
Yeah, when you have a chance to make the deal, you make it. Which is again the lesson we learned about Donovan Mitchell. This is Joe Douglas right now. This is Joe Shane right now. They're all in that place. The Giants showed us something. Are they a team? What did we say about the Giants? Are they a team that can win a Super Bowl? No. Is there something to work with? Yes. But you got to make tough decisions. You love Saquon, but maybe you can't keep him because you got to keep Daniel Jones, because you got to keep Dexter Lawrence. And then you got to add at least one wide receiver, if not two, right? Offensive line. So there's things that you have to do. That's why now the pressure's on them. And I'm saying the Knicks are in the same place.
Yeah.
It's the pressure with the trade deadline coming up is on this front office.
This is when this
roster better.
This is when basketball circles matter, right? Because like
connections.
Yeah.
I hear you.
Who's Julius' friends? Who's Brunson's friends?
Who wants to be part of this?
Right. Because Kyrie came because KD's his friend.
KD came because of Kyrie. Yeah.
And Harden came initially because they were friends. Like, who the hell are you working out with? Man, don't tell me you're working out with all scrubs, man. You need to start working out with some people, making some damn friends where people are willing to take a risk on you because it's really about
you.
They
want to be part of it. You're right.
Because nowadays it's not about, like, organizations. It's about the stars. Like, man, you know what? I'll play with Julius. Julius is my dude.
Well, let's see. Let's see where it goes. But I'm telling you, I'm putting it there from now on. This is where it is right now. It's no longer going to be about, oh, blow it up. It's not about this team has no ceiling. This team has no identity. No, they don't, because it's not a complete product yet. But there is something to work with here. And now it's up to that front office to make it work and to advance the cause.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Exciting, entertaining win last night in Boston. It's a big win. You know, they've only won in Boston four times in the last 15 visits. Like, you don't win there. It doesn't happen. And this is the first time they've lost to a division opponent this season.
That's a good team, man.
That's a very good team. Now, they're without Marcus Smart. But, you know, and they've gone through a little. This is a three loss in a row for them, so they're going through something.
It's still not
whatever.
An excuse.
No, that it's still a good win. Facing a guy who's an MVP candidate, an all-star. Mm-hmm. Jaylen Brown played poorly, missed two free throws. You see that look that Randall gave him when he missed the two free throws? Like, yeah, I've been there.
He looked like that. I forgot that.
Better you than me, son.
I forgot that cartoon movie with the scientist that got the lab coat with his hair like that. It's like purple hair. Oh. Yeah, it's like some look.
You got me on that one. All right, but we'll go through some calls here. We got some NFL news to get through. Again, for Jets fans, Mike LaFleur does find a job. I know we're all so concerned. He will be the offensive coordinator for the LA Rams next season.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's good. Good for him. Lands on his feet in
nice
LA.
Nice to have friends.
Yeah. So that's where he will be.
Steve Wilkes like, I'm unemployed. This is some bull.
Yeah, we got to get into the Steve Wilkes stuff too. Him tweeting about the lack of opportunity for African-American candidates. He did a good job finishing the season with Carolina, but they went with Frank Reich instead as their next head coach.
African-Americans lead the league. Listen, if somebody need an interim head coach, oh, that's it. Black folks going to get that.
You know what?
Or Texas job.
Because you're right. Interim coach, the Houston Texans.
Interim coach, I think every interim coach outside of Jeff Saturday has been black for the last 35 years.
Romeo
Crennel.
Interim head coach, one-year coaches. Right? If you made a list.
Look, Jacques Vaughn. It don't matter. We're the interim coach masters, son.
Speaking of Jacques Vaughn, you could tell he's getting kind of – he's run out of patience with Ben Simmons. They lost it to your Pistons last night.
Did you see Dern? Oh, did you see him with that? They tried to
– And Sadiq Bey.
Oh,
yeah, but you got to hear what Jacques Vaughn said when asked about Ben Simmons after the game, and you can just tell like there, things are boiling over there. So lots to get to, but we got a lot of calls to get to, Bart. So let's do that. Let's continue with Lo is in Jamaica. Lo, tell us how you really feel about Julius Randle.
Well, first off, let me preface everything I'm saying by Julius Randle has had a great season and he deserves to be an all-star. That is how I feel about that.
Okay.
That being said, I think there's two reasons why I agree with Bart saying that, you know, it might be possible that we might have to move on from him, you know, when the four-year contract is up. Number one, I don't know how he would play as a number two or number three option. Like, I only know how Julius Randle works with getting the majority of the offense run through him. And I think we've seen the ceiling of that role that Julius Randle's playing as the number one guy.
And let me stop you there. Because okay. A couple of things. Number one, he is not always the number one option. There are games where it's RJ Barrett. It depends on the matchup. There are games it's Jalen Brunson. He doesn't lead the team in scoring and shots every single game. But the second thing I want to point out is you said we have seen the ceiling. Can you describe the ceiling for me of Julius Randle? What's the ceiling?
Pretty much a middle of the road.
Middle of the road. So 30 and 15, four assists, that's middle of the road.
You can't do that, Allen. You can't do that.
What can I do?
Because
what he's doing right now? All star, 30, 15, and 5.
Somebody has to get those points and somebody gets those shots. Okay. What you're saying is
he's having the most efficient season he's had. He's actually better than he was 2 years ago when he was all NBA. But that's middle of the road, you're telling me. This is what's hilarious. You're making me defend the guy. I'm defending the guy.
Allen, I get it, but you know, you understand what he's saying. I mean, you look at
middle of the road?
You look at Love when he was in Minnesota, he was a stat stuffing machine. But when he had to be the lead guy,
how many times did they have a winning record, let alone make the playoffs, when Kevin Love was stat stuffing in Minnesota? Never.
Okay, the Knicks made it once. Okay.
Well, I mean, and they're on their way this year. Last year he was terrible. I've said that a million times.
Right, so which one is the real?
Well, let's say 2 out of 3 years is telling me that that's more like him than what we saw last year.
Everywhere
you guys are making me defend this guy.
When he was in New Orleans, like, you know what I mean?
Look at his numbers. Look at his numbers.
I get it. I get it, man. I'm just saying.
He left there as a free agent, by the way.
I get it, but do you want to beat? Well, they ain't trying to sign him.
Yeah, they did.
I get it.
Yeah, they did.
Okay. You're right.
I mean,
Allen, what I'm saying is
middle of the road, though, is wrong, Bart. You got to admit, it's wrong. He is not a middle of the road player at his ceiling.
Okay. Is he a top 30 player?
How many players in the league are averaging what he's averaging?
Don't give me what they average, man.
I'm sorry. How else do we base it?
I tell people all the time, numbers is the easiest thing to get in sports.
Okay.
It's easy to get numbers.
Is it?
Somebody got to get the numbers in Houston. You know what I'm saying?
All right, like numbers this is what bothers me though, because you are what you're creating, and you and then some of these callers are trying to like putting me into this place as if I'm talking like this guy is a top 10 player. I am not saying that. I'm saying it's the best you've got, and there's no way to get better.
I'm just
because that's not available. Better is not available, so you've got to work with what you've got instead of just sitting there complaining all the time about how you don't have better.
I'm just confused with the plan, and sometimes it's best to sell high.
I just gave you the plan.
I'm saying it's best to sell high, Alan.
I gave you the part. I gave you the plan.
He's hot right now,
man. The plan is you have something to work with. Work with it. And advance the cause. Make it better.
So people don't think
I'm the plan.
So people don't think it's personal. I'm the same person that once said that, hey, it's time for the Lions to trade Calvin Johnson. Because for all his greatness.
Bart, they were never making the playoff. The Lions were losing.
They did.
Every
they were 11-5 under Jim Caldwell.
How long did that last? Was that 1 year?
Yes.
But when you said they should move on from him, it was when they were just awful again.
No, it's because he was the best chip they had. Sometimes you gotta get rid of great for good. Sometimes you get rid of great for good, man. And that's all I'm saying. It's just tough because if you get rid of him, you may be able to get something that can be the foundational building blocks. Remember, Herschel Walker, before he got into politics, was a great football player. Before he was fighting lions and bears and wolves, he was fighting football players. And they traded him to the Minnesota Vikings. And it became the foundation of something. It became the foundation of Emmitt Smith, Troy Aikman, and Michael Irvin.
I mean, that's the dream scenario that we all know is never going to happen.
What I'm saying, his value's never going to be higher.
I just don't know if his value on the market is higher than his value to you right now. That's my point.
You're never going to get equal value. Let me ask you this. just like Green Bay is never going to get equal value for walking away from Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, but
it just don't happen. But what happens is going to free them up to be able to go in
Rodgers
a different direction.
Aaron Rodgers is 39 years old, and you need
But you just told me that you just told me 2 years is the only thing that matters, right? Cuz all you got Julius Randle for is 2 years.
Literally not what I said. That is literally not what I said.
Well, that's what I heard. So
But I didn't say the only thing that matters. It's not what I said. What I said was I don't know where I'm going to be in 2 years. I can't worry about that right now. I have something right now to work with, and I'm trying to see how do I make it better.
See, but if you
until I realize that this thing has run its course, which usually is when I have a deadline. And my deadline is you've got to give this guy an extension. What are you going to do? I don't have to worry about that right now. What I have to worry about right now is how do I secure a playoff spot, not a play-in, and how do I make this team better each chance I have to make it better?
What if next year he gets injured and you can't get rid of him?
No, that's a what if anything?
What if anything? Listen, I bet you right now, Alan, if your Bitcoin that you got in your Bitcoin crypto wallet go up to 40, you ain't going to say, well, it's a strong acting currency. I'm just going to ride off with it for 10 years. You're going to cash that piece in.
That is apples and oranges, man. That is not the same thing as this scenario. It's just not.
Okay.
It's not. I don't have to worry about this for another year.
Okay. Let's go to the peoples. Let's go to Patrick.
I got to make it better.
Let's talk to Pat.
Well, we can't because we've been yelling at each other for too long, and we've got stuff we got to get to. We'll get to Pat and everybody else on the other side.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
We've got so many calls to get to, Bart. Let's get to them. Who would you call out that you wanted to hear next? Who was it?
Patrick.
Patrick from New Jersey. What's up, Patrick?
Guys, loving the show. I'm going to take your side on this one. Well, I originally was on Bart's bandwagon that we should have traded him, but once we got RJ, his numbers went up. His three-pointers have went up. His defense has gone up. I think we should take a shot and try to build on his team. And that wing defender that you're talking about is Harrison Barnes. Now, I know Sacramento's in playoff contention, but they're backloaded at small forward, especially with the ascension of Keegan Murray. That makes Harrison Barnes expendable.
They love Murray. He's played really well for them. But Barnes is such a big piece of their success, and they're trying to end the longest playoff drought in the sport. Like, I actually might be the longest playoff drought in all of sports in North America. They're trying to make the playoffs for the first time since Bart was in college. Like, it's been that long. Like, Bart, what year did you start in the NFL again? What year was it?
2002.
Okay, no, you were with the Ravens then. But you were still early on in your great career. Like, it's been forever since the Kings have made the playoffs. So the one thing that they won't do is break that team up that way by losing a key piece like that during the regular season, Patrick. But, you know, finding something like that will certainly help. Now, it's funny. I got a tweet from a friend I mean, a text from a friend, and we also got a tweet that said the same exact thing, two different people.
Sure,
I'll read the tweet.
Yeah, no, text from a friend. Mm.
It was a text from a friend. I'm dead serious. It was the gong guy, actually, Bart. The gong guy. So there's the gong right there, the beloved gong. So he texted, he said, if Julius Randle was on some random team in the West playing like this, he said, with this reasonable contract, and he was available, the Knicks would bend over backwards to trade for him right now. The tweet we got was from, I don't know how you say it, so I'm not going to, because it could put me in a really bad place. The Steph Boyardee actually is his at. He said, if Randle was on another team, people would be telling the Knicks they need to move 4 first-round picks to trade for him. Because of the production. But that's what happens. Our own people, we find reasons to just say, blow it up, this ain't working. Now, okay. let's go to Ryan in Pearl River to continue the conversation. Get Ryan.
All right, gentlemen, I'm really addicted to this show. It's great afternoon. It's an afternoon delight listening to sports. First of all, with the Jets, I think you're going to have, before I get to the Knicks, but you're going to have Zach in camp, White in camp. I think it's either going to be Aaron Rodgers or Brady, but whether to bring the Gronk with you, please. And also the Stetson Rodeo, bring in Stetson Bennett, please. Because, listen, short guys have played. You know, we remember Flutie and everything. All right, with the Knicks. The Knicks' biggest problem is, come on, you need a guy, a forward, who can take the ball to the basket. And you're just not going to have – the cap is not friendly to the Knicks, unfortunately. The draft positioning and when they draft, they're not really been hitting big time in the draft. Nope. That's why we all – we are. Just because you win a few games, let's not accept mediocrity. There are some good players out there in the smaller colleges, forwards who could shoot it, but also take it to the basket. You got Ben Maller, you got Patrick Buchanan. These guys should be scouted by the Knicks. They could take the ball to the hoop. They got that inside game that could open up the outside game. But you have to be able to draft now and find players that are not in the realm of the first round anymore, and you got to find them in the other league.
Well, that's how you build.
That's
how you build around a team that you have. You feel like I have a core. Now I want to find, those pieces that, like, again, that's Warriors did it. You find pieces that, all right, this guy's not going to be a star, but he's going to be a perfect piece of glue, some glue to put into this group. Like, that's what you do. But, again, that's all for later, man. I'm talking about right now. That's all stuff for later. All right, let's continue. Let's go to, man, these segments are going by real fast. Christian Wanto, what's up, Chris?
Alan, Han, Bart, pleasure speaking with you again. So, Alan, if he's not middle of the road, like you told me 2 days ago, we couldn't get a first-round pick. I don't know how he's not middle of the road if we can't get a first-round pick for the guy. The stats are the stats, but like you said, if he was on another team, we'd be trading 3 first-round picks for him.
Well,
so I'm just a little confused. So if he's not a middle of the guy and we can't get a first-round pick, what does that mean he is? Is he not just a Kevin Love with the Timberwolves? Because I'm getting kind of confused with
what's
going on here.
Chris, that is a great
just,
point.
Chris, all you're doing is repeating Bart.
That is a great point, Chris.
That's all he's doing is repeating Bart.
No, why you let Chris respond?
Because
you're saying your guy, the gong guy, said, hey, if he wasn't here, we'll
comprehend what
to
that
get
means.
Him.
Comprehend what that means.
Then somebody else should be willing to give it.
Listen,
are Knicks the only suckers that would do that?
That's the point of the tweet and the text. Is that we do this here about other players. That's what everybody like, oh my God, look at his numbers. You got to bring him in. This guy plays tough, blah, blah, blah. But then he's on your team and he sucks. Like, that's how it always goes.
I think the point is
said. But the reality is, as I told you the other day, there is no way this group that invested, they are not trading him, especially when they are well over 500 and in position to make the playoffs. There's no way they're doing it. So that's a silly conversation to have. Start there. And then after that, it's, if you did try to trade him, you think somebody's giving you an unprotected first round? Are you crazy? Ain't nobody doing that in this league anymore. That Rudy Gobert trade ruined everything. Ruined everything for everyone from here on out. That was a terrible trade that Minnesota made. Terrible trade.
Is Julius Randle better than Rudy Gobert?
What does that have to do with anything? I just told you, no one is doing that. No one is doing a unprotected picks. Or lightly protect. They're not doing that anymore. 4 picks. Because everyone saw that trade and went, no way we're doing this. And so that's it. So you're not getting that kind of an offer. And if you're saying just get rid of him, then you're really not paying attention. And I don't have time for it. Just being honest. I don't have time for it.
You're going to get Lauren marketing.
He's an all-star, by the way. Just throwing it out there.
I got
He's playing
you.
Out of his mind.
And they're trying to get rid of him.
Who's trying to get rid of him? Utah loves him.
Yeah, Utah trying to get rid of him. They're not signing him after this season. You know it or not know it.
Well, Utah might be doing something different business-wise.
So Lauren marketing.
Don't even
it's
try.
It's an all-star.
Don't do it. Don't
and
do
he's
it.
He's going to be available.
Let's talk
we
football.
Can't make Julius Randle available.
We're going to talk football. We are talking football. When you start trying to pull out names that you can't even pronounce, we're talking football now.
Lauren
That's what we're
marketing.
Doing. You know they called Randolph last night on TNT? And it pissed off his mom so much she went to Twitter. Like, they better know my baby's name now. Like, you know how mad a mother gets, too, when, like,
That's
he plays.
On my name.
Right. He plays so well, and they're calling him Randolph. They're like, man, his name is Randall.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.